But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Bob, I had a long talk this morning with someone I respect greatly about the dynamics of this playoff game, and I'll tell you right off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, and I'm standing over here today like Ron Cook did for all those years. I'm not even sitting.
Standing and swaying. Hopefully
and swaying.
That doesn't come
pretty
into
soon
your
I'll
golf
be,
swing.
Pretty soon I'll be pacing like Ron did.
That's right.
I'm leaning toward a Steeler win. I want the entire world, perhaps the universe, to hear that.
You
I'm not
changed
picking.
From yesterday.
Here's the thing. I'm leaning toward it. Friday, on a Donnie Football Friday, I'll make my official decision. But everything I've been feeling and talking about this week became crystallized during this morning conversation. I think the dynamic, and I was just telling Dr. Crowley and Dr. Dickerson, I think the dynamic is going to be very much like Pitt, West Virginia. 13-9, in that anything that goes wrong early is going to be felt in that stadium as bigger than it is. The dynamic that has been formed for this game by Vegas, by the national media, by the Ravens mocking George Pickens, which is mocking the Steelers, is that the Ravens are on the ascent here, ready to take off, that this is going to somehow be easy against the Steelers, a 10-point spread. It's going to be pretty easy for them, and off they go. Lamar exercised his demons in the last game against the Steelers, and I'm not believing it for a second. I'm not believing it for a second, because if this game is close early, the longer that wears on, clearly, based on the dynamic going in, the Ravens are going to be the ones that feel that pressure. You remember Patrick Peterson gave it away last year. He gave it away on his podcast, How Mike Tomlin Plays the Ravens. And that is, be close near the end and they are going to, quote, burn down the barn. You remember that? Remember Patrick Peterson said that about Harbaugh? That's how Tomlin feels. We keep it close and those guys are going to get crazy at the end. Remember the game in Pittsburgh this year? If the game is close, I have a strong feeling that the Steelers will win. However, Bob, and I'm sorry for the elongated soliloquy, and I hope you're well. I also believe that in any exorcism, we just had a guy on Crowley and Doran.
Wait a minute, they had an exorcist here?
No, they didn't. Let me elaborate.
Maybe that's the stuff, Sean, you see on the floor in there. Somebody just...
That was Harry Callis peeing on the floor in there, Bob. Let me explain here. He talked about how Lamar needs to exorcise his demons, and he's right. But in any exorcism, Bob, what has to happen? The first part of it is summoning the demon. You got to come face to face with that baby, and it's going to be Lamar coming face to face with a close ending against the Steelers. Those are the games that he's lost at the goal line. Crazy plays, TJ Watt after him, all of that. I think he's going to come face to face with that. And he may make the play, and that would truly exorcise the demons. But right now, I feel like people are laughing at the Steelers nationwide. They're not taking them seriously, and I have too much respect for many of those guys over there to believe they're going to get walked over at the start. TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, people like that. I think this is going to be a close game. I don't think that's a crazy take, as I said on Monday. It's the factual, scientific, history-based take. Why do I think the Steelers in that room know they can play against the Ravens? Because they always beat them. That's why. And the Ravens know that too. Yet we have this dynamic going into this game where the Ravens are somehow expected to walk over the Steelers and beat the crap out of them. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to be close. And then the question becomes, when it's close, how do the Ravens deal with it? They're the ones who need to prove they can win a close game against the Steelers. John Harbaugh needs to prove it against Tomlin. They're the ones who need to prove that when it's close, they won't get all crazy and burn the barn down. So I'm leaning just a little bit this morning, Bob, and it could change. I'm leaning just a little bit in the Steelers' direction. And the guy I talked to this morning compared it a little bit to Islanders-Penguins in 93. Kevin Stevens once told me we could skate backwards through any team but the Islanders. But the Islanders, they're the nemesis. They're the ones you don't want to play. Why? Because they know you better than anybody, and they beat you more than anybody. And that is the Steelers to the Ravens. Thank you, Bob. I'll cede the floor to you.
Joe, very well said. But there are a couple of cracks in that discussion you just made.
Please.
Number one, keeping it close early.
Yeah.
When have the Steelers showed you they can do that in some of these games?
When have the Ravens ever in the Tomlin Harbaugh era blown out the Steelers from the start? Maybe once?
I'm not suggesting a blowout. And I think the line is ridiculous, to be honest. I think we talked about this yesterday. I think this is, of all the people the Ravens could have played, this is probably the last one they want to play just because of familiarity and they know each other and all this stuff that matters. But if you're going to talk pressure, Jackson certainly, Harbaugh certainly, but what about Mike Tomlin and the Steelers certainly in postseason play? They could somehow feel it as well. And that's why I keep going back to starts of games. I've harped on this as much as I've harped on middle of the field all year. You have to come out with your best quarter, and it has to be the first quarter in order to do what you just said, to hang around. Because if you fall behind, this team is not suited to come back. It just isn't. Unless you create a lot of turnovers, and they haven't done that recently, they're capable. And that's the other thing that we can predict all that we want, turnovers, and that can happen. It got in the head of Derrick Henry in the first game. The guy never fumbles. The guy was mad at himself because he got stripped the ball away from Nick Herbig.
Right.
And then John Harbaugh does a ridiculous thing. It doesn't bring him back in the game, including a two-point conversion, which is, why wouldn't you? So
thank you, Bob, for making that point.
I understand that. That's all.
Because one of the things that happens in this series
is they lose their minds.
The Ravens do uncharacteristic things. Lamar is Michael Jordan against everybody else. He's Frank Borkowski against the Steelers. Derrick Henry, when does he fumble?
Never.
He fumbled against the Steelers. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
But he didn't do it the last game.
I know.
The game the Steelers needed to win. And he was 162 yards.
They didn't need to win, but go ahead.
Well, the Steelers did.
No, they didn't. They needed to win their final two to still clinch the division.
Yeah, but if you win that game, you don't have to worry about that.
Right. I just quibble with the phrasing, they needed to win.
You don't think they needed to win that game? I do.
No, because even afterward, they still controlled their fate in the division.
I understand that, but you make it really difficult on yourself when you have Kansas City on the schedule.
For sure, for sure.
So, bottom line is, 10 points is too much. I've already taken those points. I don't expect it to be a blowout, but I do expect it to be a game where the Steelers find themselves up against a team that's playing really well right now. And you know, you can talk about demons all you want, but I just think that the last game, I think Lamar Jackson took away from it that I can do what I have to do against this team. And not only that, the Henry component makes it totally different. Totally different. This guy is a unique runner, and all it takes is one or two openings for him. The offensive line of the Steelers, to me, hasn't shown they're good enough right now on a consistent basis to do it. Yet, I know how Mike Tomlin will operate. I know what he's going to say to these guys, and I know these guys are veterans. Many of them have been down this, and they know what this rivalry is like. So from that point of view, I totally understand what you're saying, which is why I suspect it'll be a close game. Do I expect them to win? No. But everything can change. So
I've
felt all along that's too many points. But I also think it's a real difficult task to beat Baltimore the way the Baltimore Ravens are playing. Now, that doesn't mean they can't come out and just poop the bed, which they've done before in first-round games at home. So there's a lot in play here. But I think the Steelers will stay quiet and just tuck this all away and come out with a mission on Saturday night. Now, is that going to sustain itself over the course of the entire game? I hope so, but I don't know that it will.
Bob, I appreciate everything you just said, and I disagree with most of the syllables you just uttered.
Okay.
The demons for each side. For sure, the Steelers have their own. That's indisputable. Haven't won a playoff game in 7 years. T.J. Watt has playoff demons. He's never won a single one. He's about to become, maybe, the Dick Butkus of this generation. A legendary defensive player who never won a playoff game. But the way that this game is being packaged, the way that everybody's looking at it, I would imagine in both locker rooms too, for better or worse, and I'll be ripping the Steelers if they lose. Don't worry about that. Is it's the little underdog. It's the little, what do they call the group of five? It's Boise State walking in here with nothing to lose, even though you and I and everybody around here knows the Steelers have a lot to lose. Another playoff game. But the way that the game is being packaged is it's the little Boise State guys running into Baltimore to face, you know, Ohio State or Alabama in their heyday. And in that's the way that that dynamic, to me, is going to play out in a close game. The Steelers aren't going to feel it like the Ravens will. They're the 10-point favorite at home. They're Rich Rod going against Wani on his crutches, and it's, you know, 9-7 in the fourth quarter. So if you say it's going to be close, then you are acknowledging that either team could win, correct? Because that's definition
but
of
always,
a close game.
I felt that from the beginning, that it wasn't going to be a blowout. I never see blowouts in this game. Even the 34-17 game wasn't a blowout. It was a game that was a one-possession game with the Steelers in possession of the football. So after that, it, you know, got away, I understand. But you'll never see that in this. Very rarely do you see a complete blowout. And I don't expect one, which is why that point spread surprises me and still surprises me. I thought when it came out at 8 or 8.5, it would go backwards. It would be 6.5 by the time game kicked.
Now it's going up and up and up.
Which tells me that people are buying what you're saying and that this is not even going to be a competitive game. And that is the wrong way to look at it, because I still think the Steelers have shown and will continue to show that they understand Baltimore. Baltimore knows that they are understood by Pittsburgh. And we'll see what coaching decisions are made in games. Both are capable of making bad decisions when it comes to big decisions.
No doubt.
So we'll see.
No doubt. Here's the other thing you said that I at least wonder about, not necessarily dispute, is that you said last game Lamar probably was thinking, I can do what I need to do against this team. That team is not going to be this team. That team didn't have Deshaun Elliott, who I would argue has been the third best player on that defense this year, leads the team in tackles, bunch of tackles for loss, forced fumble, fumble recovery. He's been really good.
Former Raven.
And he's really good against the run. He's a de facto linebacker. So that won't be this team. Plus, Dante Jackson, for better or worse, is back. I would say better because he's better than the alternative. Joey Porter left that game hurt. T.J. Watt was severely compromised, in my opinion, in that game. He was useless and single-blocked. He ain't going to be a guy you want to single-block in this game. I can promise you that. I'll promise you that T.J. Watt will show up there looking to wreck a game with Highsmith and Herbig coming from the other side. It's their offense I worry about, but this defense is going to show up loaded for bear. So he may think that about that Steelers team. That Steelers team's gone. That's not the one showing up here. And by the way, like in hockey or any other sport, you can't invent desperation where it's not there. You said they needed to win the game. They really didn't. They didn't even need to win the games after that. They've had a playoff spot locked up for a long time. Now they're desperate, and now they're healthy. At least relatively so, because Pickens, again, for better or worse, didn't play in that game. And in this game, they're intentionally poking the bear going into this game, which might be smart. It might be smart. Maybe George Pickens comes out, you know, for all I know, he'll run on the field, you know, half naked or something and just go nuts. I don't know what he's going to do.
Maybe.
Or he comes out and he's supremely motivated, knowing he's probably playing for a contract next year. Like if he comes out and does all that crap again and falls apart, he becomes way less of a sensible long-range contract guy. If he comes out and dominates, things change for him. So this isn't the team that Lamar faced. That's my argument there. And more to the point, even against that Steeler team, you, me, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers to my left, everybody in that stadium in Baltimore, Lamar and John Harbaugh, I promise you, we're all thinking the same thing on that fourth quarter interception in the red zone. Lamar's first red zone interception of the whole year. Did I mention that they do things they don't normally do when they play the Steelers? Everybody had the same three-word reaction when that happened. Forward. Here we go again. And then Russell gave the game away. So all of that is what I would say to refute this, Bob. And good for Lamar and Derrick Henry that they came back late in that game and they did dominate. They put it away. They blew out the Steelers at the end. But I don't think that tells the whole story of that game.
No, and you can go back to the first meeting to understand how this is rivalry works. Baltimore came in here as the better team at the Steelers, and it was a close game. They missed a couple of field goals. They took a ton of penalties, did Baltimore. And this is something that also you can drag out of them.
They burned the barn down.
They burned it, yes. And as a result, it was a low-scoring 18-16 game. This is where I have a problem. Even though the Steelers have won a bunch of these 18-16, 13-9 games, whatever you want to call it, I find it difficult to believe that they're going to be able to silence this offense of Baltimore to the tune of that sort of performance.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think even if they play a good defensive game, they're going to be plays to be made. And if they make them, they're going to have some issues. Unless their offense, getting back to your point here, unless their offense does something that it hasn't done in four games, which is consistently for 60 minutes put together drives and drives with touchdowns, not field goals or turnovers, and put pressure on that other defense. I haven't seen that in four games, and you may say they weren't desperate because they had a playoff game already locked up. I think they were desperate. They did not want to go down this path if necessary. They wanted to be at home. They had an opportunity to be the third seed for 4 weeks in a row, whatever it was. So that made them desperate. And in each of those occasions, they did not complete the mission. So therefore, I just think it'll be a close game. I think we could look at this a whole bunch of different ways with numbers and everything else. If you've watched it enough, which we have, it'll be a close game. But the Steelers better score touchdowns. Chris Boswell is a nice luxury to have. But the best thing for me to say at the end of this, they didn't even need Chris Boswell. Because if you don't need him, that means you've scored some touchdowns or you haven't done anything. But I would think they'd score a few here in this game.
I disagree wholeheartedly with everything you just said, Bob.
Okay.
And I'll begin right now. I think they desperately need Chris Boswell, and I think especially in a weather game.
My point is relying on him the way they've relied. They've won two games without a touchdown because of him.
Yeah, one was against the Ravens.
I understand that, but that's my point. You can't keep rolling that dice. You can't keep expecting those results.
I'm fine with a touchdown and six Boswell field goals. What does that get you to?
What if Justin Tucker hits six? He's come back. He has been perfect since
he went through. Let's see what Justin Tucker does now that the crucible of playoffs are upon him. Okay, let's see what he
does. You don't think he's a seasoned veteran in that regard? He's been down this road.
Bob, this guy was broken about a month ago.
So was Chris Boswell a few years ago, and he came back.
I'll take Boswell as the best kicker in the game.
So will I, but my point is, if you're relying on kickers to win games, fine, go ahead. But
kickers have won games in probably 30 times in 37 games in this rivalry.
It's one thing to come in late in the game and hit a field goal, which is important if that's the win or lose.
He hit six the last time they beat the Ravens.
Because they didn't score a touchdown.
Add one touchdown and five field goals, and what do you got? 22 points. That's right around the sweet spot, I think.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying. You'd love to finish drives, but you have a weapon in Boswell. But the other thing you said was you haven't seen this offense perform in a number of weeks. Obviously, the Chiefs game and the Bengals game were disastrous. I would argue in the Ravens game, they were moving the ball without Pickens. Without Pickens.
But they also made a lot of mistakes in red zone areas.
Yes, they did, which to me, the encouraging thing there, and you and I talked about it the next day after that game, was I actually saw encouraging signs in that game that did not bear out in the next two, grant you that. But it's specific to one team. They're moving the ball up and down the field in the first half. They had 175 yards in the first half. If Russ doesn't lower his shoulder at the goal line, which I like that he did, and fumble, they probably go up 14-7. And then again, he throws the pick six in the second half. What I saw was a team that could move the ball on Baltimore and made some mistakes in the end. They did. And it was without Pickens. But here's something I bet we both agree on. To get the job done in this game, it's time for the Steelers to go to their best offensive weapons, to go to their best weapons. I want to see George Pickens, assuming his head is in the game, that might be a rather large assumption. I want to see them force feed that guy, force somebody to stop him, throw him the ball 15 or 20 times, And then the other guy I want to see get 25 touches in the game is Jaylen Warren. By pass, by run, let him get into a rhythm. Let him be a real running back. Let him be your number one running back. Force feed him. Get the ball to Freiermuth. Freiermuth, Pickens, Warren. And the other guy that should get at least 5 touches by hook or by crook is Justin Fields. Those are the recipes on offense to at least get enough done to hang around, I think, and not waste your time with the other crap. Do I have faith that they're going to do that? Not necessarily, no, because I see Arty Smith, who, as I mentioned yesterday, is falling up faster than Matt Rhule and is getting 2 interviews with the Jets and the Bears. I guess that tells you a lot, the 2 teams interviewing him. They're 2 of the few in the whole NFL that have gone longer without a playoff win than the Steelers have. What is going on there, Bob?
I don't know, but the Jets are interviewing everybody. You and I are on the list, I think. So do you know Woody? You can go in there and impress him. He might get the job for all
Woody's
I know.
Woody's son, I think, is the guy doing the hiring.
Whoever. Rex Ryan's back in the conversation. All these people. I'm like, come on now. It shouldn't be that difficult to come up with an impressive list. But anyway, to me, that's exactly right. But how long have we been saying that? When I look at games, like even the last game against Cincinnati, Freiermuth wasn't even looked at until the fourth quarter, basically, when they needed to do it. They need to come out with a fourth quarter mentality in the first quarter. They need to do something that they haven't done. They cannot rely on the same exact formula. Like I said, first quarters, when you should have your best offensive game plans.
Do you agree
inserted.
With the Warren point? Would
totally.
You start him and
did
force
you know,
feed him?
Did you see how many touches he had last week? 6.
It's ridiculous, Bob.
But it's become an ongoing thing, and I think Najee keeps getting the nod because he's a veteran. He's a guy they took in the first round, and Mike Tomlin likes him in there because of the way he runs.
Cordarrelle Patterson got, you could argue, the biggest carry of the whole game.
Right.
When right after the muffed punt, when they're trying to go ahead,
and they don't
he calls
even
a pitch out to Cordarrelle.
When he's in the game, he gets the ball. That's it. So I don't know if they are setting people up for a big surprise. Maybe they are. Maybe they're using this as a reason to show you that, okay, you believe this is coming on first and second down, look again. I want to see, this is crazy for me to say, I guess, because it's way out of their context of what they believe, but I want to see them start the game with 14 passes in the first quarter. I want to see them come out and just spread the field, do some things differently to see how they respond to it. I don't want to see first down run to Najee, second down run to whatever.
No, it can't happen
and
that
even
way.
Though you're playing protective football, which is a disappointing thing to think, when you're playing protective, don't lose, don't make a mistake football, you tend to make mistakes or you tend to take away from the very strength of your team because you're playing, not just, we talk golf all the time. If you're playing defensive golf, like you know, I can't afford to go out of bounds, I'm just going to. You end up making more mistakes. It's just not the way to play sports, period, any sport.
They're really,
they can't live in their fears.
Right, and they do. And they do live in their fears. And the whole turnover thing, I think Tomlin overemphasizes that to the point of where if they commit a turnover, it's like they're broken. Oh, my God, we can't win now. I just watched the Lions win, and they lost the turnover battle 2-0. I mean,
how about Goff in the one game was intercepted 5 times, and they still won?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. Take some chances. Do you agree with force-feeding Pickens? If I'm Russell Wilson and Tomlin and Artie, I'm sitting down Pickens already this week and saying, you are our best player. You're going to be a focal point of this game plan. They're laughing at you. They're mocking you. Did you see this? I'm sure he has. You're going to get a ton of targets, okay? You're going to get 15 targets in this game. Long, short, intermediate, you're getting the ball. You ready to prove yourself? In the biggest game of your career, are you ready to prove yourself? I'm challenging him. And, you know, there's a chance he won't respond, that he'll shrink in the moment. Of course there is. There's also a chance he'll be the best player on the field, even with Lamar out there and Derrick Henry. That's how talented he is. So I'm taking that chance. Do you agree?
Like I said, I would come out totally differently. And when I say 14 passes, I'm serious. If you have the ball twice in the first quarter of the game, do something different. Show them something. Test them. Early in the season, their pass defense was their weakest part of their defense.
And I like
how it's gotten better. I want to still see go back to that.
Yeah.
You know. Now I was looking in this officiating crew. The guy who's going to be the referee has a history of. I don't know how much of this means anything, but
with the home teams,
right? You saw that.
Yeah.
I think who put it out there? It was an interesting like 88% of the time he's refereeing a game.
Was it Benzie? I think Benzie did.
Was it? Could have been.
Are you proud of Benzie, Bob? How he's flourished in his career?
I think Tim Benz is very, very good at what he does.
So do I.
I've always felt that way. Very articulate.
I thought he had a very nice Penguins column today.
I did not see it. I slept in pretty late because I worked late.
Here's another point, Bob. Moonburgers, is that his name? Baltimore was also fresh off a bye before the last game. Listen, I'm not interested in excuses for why the Steelers lost that game. I'm interested in looking at that game soberly and trying to project ahead to this game. And when I look at it, not only are they coming off a bye 2 weeks earlier, they had a bye a week earlier because they played the Giants. The Steelers were coming off a punishing game against the Eagles. I'm sorry, I factor that in along with the fact that the Steelers played with, you know, three quarters of a team that day. That's just me, though, as I project ahead to this game. That's a good point to bring up.
Joe, but I've got a question for you about Pickens.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be apparent very early on in that game if he's in the right mindset?
Yes.
So you said force feed him. I think the first quarter really will dictate how they use Pickens the rest of the game.
Because
you'll probably
tell
right away if he's in the right mindset or if he's out there, you know, for his own purposes.
Bob, that's why we pay Sean Myers an eight-figure salary here. That's a great point.
It is.
Think you'll know maybe after a play or two Pickens, whether this guy's interested or not. And by the way, when George is really interested, he can deliver Hines level ward blocks. We've seen that. So he's actually a guy who could really help you in the run game, too. And in Bob, as you suggest, the short pass game, whatever that might look like. He can block people when he wants to. He's destroyed some people.
He can get a step inside on anyone. And all you got to do is put the ball and the money to him, and he'll run. And you may only get 7-8 yards, but it's better than running to the right or running to the left, sweep right, sweep left, and getting two. So I would investigate all of it for sure.
I would
give them something they haven't seen from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. The other thing is, man, this probably won't work, is to pound into his head something like, just celebrate with us if you make a good play. Like, he's going to be so stoked because they've mocked him that he's a candidate for like 8 personal fouls in the game, isn't he?
Oh,
he's a candidate to get kicked out of the game.
If you think that they won't talk to him when they make a tackle
they
and
will.
Say, soft cologne, baby, or whatever they're going to say. And his response must be nothing.
I feel like this is a defining game, really, for Pickens. Like, are you going to be are you even capable when a team taunts you like this in big moments to deliver? Or are you just going to be this guy? Really, you're going to be that guy your whole career? Some are that. Some never change. I feel like this could be, you know, a statement game. And I don't like that phrase, but I think it works here for George Pickens. I think they can win, Bob. So do you, because by definition, you're picking a close game, which is almost a 50-50 game. What percent are you putting on it?
Joe, I mean, you're going
to... 55-45?
All I know is that I think when I say close, it'll be a one-score game largely throughout. It could go to a two-score game. And when that happens, that's how the Steelers have to respond if they're on the bad end of that. However, like I said, it has been all season since we've seen them. They haven't scored a first possession touchdown. What if they did?
Can you imagine if they did that?
What if they did? That would stun a lot of people who look all into these analytics, and people in that stadium would be saying, uh-oh, they did something right now that they haven't done all year. Look out. Maybe that's going to be, you know, that's why it's important to do.
Here's another thing that might happen in this game. Is I feel like Lamar has tried to prove against the Steelers more than anybody that he can beat them from the pocket. Now, maybe that has a lot to do with them and their Lamar rules that they've played through the years of not letting him get outside the pocket to make plays, kind of like the Pistons and their Jordan rules. And their number one rule was don't let Jordan get in the air, period. Whatever we have to do, don't let him get in the air near the basket. Force him this way, force him that way. And if he does get in the air, send him down to the floor in a hurry. I feel like Lamar's going to want to run more in this game. And therefore,
well, they do design runs all the time. In that Cleveland game last week, they had some beautiful design runs.
But he hasn't been a great runner against the Steelers. He's never even run for a touchdown against them.
No, I know. But so they will have that ready to go for sure.
Which is the good news or the bad news. And that's my point, is you want to run Lamar. He wants to get out there and run 15 times. He's going to subject himself to an awful lot of punishment. Say what you will about the Steelers' defense, about their secondary. They hit. Landon Roberts will be looking for him.
Oh, Deshaun Elliott.
Deshaun Elliott. Minka,
and they may
will
even
all be
cross
looking for
the
him.
Line. If he starts sliding a little later, whatever, they may cross the line.
They may cross the line. That's all I'm saying is if he wants to and he gets some heat sometime, why don't you run more against the Steelers? He may want to try to prove that in this game, and he will be subjected to a high degree of punishment if that happens. That's all I'm saying. He better be very smart and judicious about how he finishes those runs.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they know that, which is why I think they're going to do, you know, if I'm John Harbaugh, I'm telling them to ignore everything that's happened in the past. Let's, if this is my team, the Ravens, I say, we are better straight up than they are. Let's just go out and prove it. You don't have to do anything special. We're going to do what we do and let them react to it. When John Harbaugh gets into trouble, it's when he is forced to do something and he has a tug of war going on in his head about whether or not he should go for it, not go for it.
Right.
Should I send my guy who just fumbled back in the game or not?
Right.
Do I put him in? I'm not going to put him in a two-point conversion because he fumbled. Or, I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? And if that's what your head coach is doing, then it's very capable late in the game. That's why it's important to be involved.
And that's why I'm starting to feel this way, Bob, to bring this full circle in the exact quote last
year. But you're
going to
pick them now. No,
I'm not saying that yet. I'm saying I'm leaning in that direction.
Okay.
You'll hear it on Donnie Football Friday. The Steelers were down by 2 with a 125 in the fourth quarter last season. In Pittsburgh, you might remember, when Pickett hit George Pickens for the winner. You remember that, Bob? 41 yards?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Ravens, you remember what coverage they had there, Bob? 0 coverage, which
I don't remember that.
The Steelers immediately recognized and exploited and won the game. And that led to this quote on Patrick Peterson on his All Things Covered podcast with Bryant McFadden. That week said, the crazy thing about all that, I'll never forget, on a Wednesday meeting, Coach Tomlin said, quote, when it's a dying moment, they will try to burn the house down. You go back to that moment, Peterson said, I'll be damned. They tried to burn the house down and we caught them. And I guarantee you, this is me talking now, not Peterson, that's what Tomlin's preaching this week. We're going to ugly this game. We're going to keep it close. And trust me, just like always, they're going to burn the house down at the end. They're going to get
so
crazy.
So you are predicting the Steelers will win. That's everything you've said so far.
No,
makes me
I said what I said. Tomlin's telling his players.
Okay.
And
I thought
yes,
it was you telling me.
No, I'm saying Tomlin is telling his players right now, keep this thing close. Play the way we always do. He said in his news conference the other day, we know how to play these guys. That's why they've won 8 of 10. They'll get crazy at the end. They'll go zero coverage at the end. They won't put Derrick Henry on for a two-point conversion at the end. They'll go for the win instead of a tie and try to pass the ball to Mark Andrews when TJ Watt's in your face at the end. They'll try to burn the house down. Patrick Peterson gave that away, that's Tomlin's philosophy against this team. And guess what? It works.
That's fine, except what you just said went against everything we just said prior to it, which is, let's play the way we always play. If you're going to muddy the game up and play run football, physical football, we're going against what we just said they need to do. You just said take advantage of their skilled people the way they haven't done. Well, if they play the way they've been playing, they are going to be it's going to be prevent offense. It's going to be one of those just don't make mistakes. We'll run the ball, try to possess it.
Oh, no, it's okay to finish a drive. I say give the ball to Jaylen Warren 25 times and get Pickens involved. That doesn't mean rolling up. They're not going to roll up 30 points in the game, but it means keeping control of the ball.
See, I still
it
think
means
they're
setting
have
up Boswell for field goals. Yeah. They'll be if they get in the low to mid 20s, they're going to win the game, I think.
Could be right.
And I don't know that they'll
more
get there.
Than that. I think it's just
it didn't
just,
here.
I understand it did there, and it did because in the end, when they had a chance to put it away, they did. They
and
just
you know what
took control of that mistake.
Of that mistake. That's what you can't do. We do agree on that. You can't have crushing mistakes at the goal line and right after turnovers.
I understand that, but you can't play
defensively
on offense. You can't do it. You have to play with this. We're going to score touchdowns here today, and this is how we're going to do it. That's all I want to see from them. I don't want to see...
You know what we haven't mentioned yet? Zay Flowers. Is that not a huge factor in this game?
Sure it is. It goes with all the guys you just said are back for the Steelers.
Yes.
Now you take him away... They don't have much depth over there. Aside from Bateman, they have Aguilar. They have some young kids who can make plays, but they also have two very talented tight ends who seem to get a lot of the targets anyway. So I think it's a fascinating matchup. I think everyone is, like you said, they look at that spread nationally, 10 points, it's the worst game. Everything is pointing to the Steelers kind of coming together as a group, locking those doors and saying, look at this. Who are we? You know what we are, and look what they're saying to us, about us. We have one response to make, and if you guys don't, you know, it'll be one of those Herb Brooks moments. If you don't capitalize on this game, you'll take it to your grave.
Right.
So,
can you come back with the Herb Brooks speech, Sean?
Yeah,
if we're allowed to play
together.
It.
You know, that's a great classic coaching moment, by the way. It's in the movies every time. But people forget how that whole thing worked. It is so hard to tell your team after they just go to a euphoric high and beating a Russian team that they have no business beating.
Yeah.
Knowing that you got to come and still win again.
But
to me, that is the hardest thing to do as a coach, is to get those guys to return to that same level. And he did.
The Miracle on Ice is another instructive game here, Bob. Which team felt all the pressure as the game? We're not supposed to be in a game
like
this.
But you're minimizing.
We're not supposed to be in a game like this.
I understand that. You're minimizing the pressure on the Steelers.
No, there's. Well, was there not pressure on Herb Brooks and the U.S. Olympic team? You have one opportunity in your whole life to win a gold medal. One.
But I'm saying I'm not going to totally eliminate all the pressure factor that's involved this way.
There's huge pressure on the Steelers. It's just not the same when you're a 10-point underdog and the whole world thinks the other guys are going to walk over you easily.
I totally agree.
But the pressure plays differently on both teams.
Well, especially if the Steelers fall behind big. Now,
and that's the one scenario.
That, as you described yesterday, in their last five playoff games, their combined first quarter scoring is
66-0.
If that happens,
then it's over.
Then it's over.
But who's the one team they didn't play in all of that? It's the Islanders, Bob. It's the Islanders. For the Ravens, I might add. The Ravens are the Penguins. The Steelers are the Islanders. I just think that's the way it's going to go, is that it's going to come down to Lamar facing his demons. Does he do it in this last drive on this last play or not? I could be very wrong, Bob.
If there's, before you go to this break, I'll throw this out and we can talk about it coming back. Normally in these types of games, though, aside from all the star players, there's always one or two that come out of nowhere and make big, big plays.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure there are thoughts both ways about who those players can be, so I'd be interested to hear who your Steeler play would be.
Dean Lowry. No, we'll talk about that. He made a big play last time against him.
He did.
And he was chasing down Lamar on that two-point conversion. All right, Bob. Maybe I've lost it this time for good. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. How do you think this game is going to go? Not even picking a winner right now. Just what do you think the nature of this game will be? How is it going to play out? And also, the Steelers' best route toward victory. Who do they need to emphasize and what do they need to do offensively to give themselves a chance to win this game? Again, the six-pack brought to you by Bet365.
Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. Screw them.
Oh,
this is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Boom.
Oh, do I love that.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Oh, do I love that. You ever heard the little kid give the speech?
That's better.
That's
funny.
So good. All right, just to wrap up the Steeler talk before we get to George Mikulowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now off that Pitt game and the general. Bob, give me a point total What do the, where do the Steelers need to get to win the game? And you're not so humble opinion.
27 points.
27. Okay. All right. I'm going to say they need to get to 23 to win the game. How do you like them apples?
It could very well be. It might be less. I just think given the way, you know, the Ravens have been scoring over 30 points in every game since their bye, they've been really mowing people down offensively. I think it's going to take that much. You're going to have to, you have to score.
Did you watch Ravens-Browns? I was not overly impressed with the Ravens offense in that game. They wound up scoring a bunch, but it was because the Browns offense was so sickly. But for the first half and for a fair amount of the game, I thought that the Ravens looked a little bit frustrated offensively in that game, if you watched it. I don't know. We have to move on, though. We'll get back. Jay Caulfield, top of the hour. Right now, George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now talking about the Pitt game last night. George, I was at the Penguin game and had the Pitt game on a video, a monitor in front of me, and it looked like they were competitive for a while, but man, Cooper Flagg is just too much, isn't he? That dunk was incredible, and you can see why he's maybe going to be the number one pick in the draft.
He is, Joe. He is. I mean, he's a game changer. Jeff Capel raves about his competitiveness. I think his defense is something that goes so under the radar, at least on the national scene. Like, all you hear about him is obviously the dunks and the step backs and the crossovers. Like, he can do everything at 6'9" that you want in a basketball player. But his defense altered the game as well as his teammates. Like, they are the biggest team in college basketball. They're the number one defense in college basketball. They made things near impossible for Jalen Lowe and Ish-Leggett, shut those two down for Pitt, and it was never really that close. I mean, like you said, they kept things within striking distance. Biba Cummings, the local kid, had a few buckets there in the second half that I think cut it to 9, or either 9 or 11, with about 15, 10 minutes left, but couldn't really get it any closer than that. It didn't feel close, I'll say that much.
No, and I think a lot of it had to do with they were allowing some open threes, number one. They missed a lot of foul shots, number two. I thought they were in the game at halftime, even down 10, despite all of that. But I just, you know, the difference of talent, especially rebounding, inside play, I thought was very apparent as that game went on.
I agree, Bob. I mean, you look at these guys that were guarding the Pitt guards. Jalen Lowe, I just watched through all of his 12 shots from last night. Ish-Leggett, all of his 15 shots, they combined to shoot 19%, those two of Pitt's stars, two of the best players in the ACC. I'll still say that, even after yesterday. But they were being guarded by these guys. Con Kniffel, 6'7", 215. Malik Brown, 6'9". Kamon Malawach, 7'2". Like, we're talking about men against boys last night. Like, these are absolutely elite athletes. This is a top three, top four team in all of D1 basketball right now, Duke. And they played to their strengths last night, completely took Pitt out of the game and Pitt's best players out of the game with their athleticism and just with their talent. I mean, I haven't even really talked about Cooper Flagg's offensive ability that much, and he showed everything he can do last night. And that dunk, man, that dunk over Guillermo Diaz-Graham will be in highlight reels forever.
All right, George, so what are we to read into this Pitt team? They beat Wisconsin, 19th. They had a nice win against Ohio State at Ohio State.
West Virginia, too.
And then they get just not beaten, but destroyed by Mississippi State. And in the end, I mean, that's an ugly-looking loss to Duke, 76-47. Are they any good?
It is.
How good are they, maybe, is the best way to phrase that.
Yeah. One quick minor correction. They did not beat Wisconsin. They lost that game at the Greenbrier, but it was a close game. The win over Ohio State, I think, showed me a lot more than last night's loss and the loss to Duke showed. I think this team can compete with top 25 teams, with teams that are going to be in the NCAA tournament. I think they can win multiple games in the NCAA tournament. I still do. You look at how good Mississippi State and Duke are, and it makes sense. Mississippi State's 14-1 this year. They're a top 15 team across any metric you want to look at. Duke is the number one team in the nation on KenPom's rankings as of today. The best defense, a top 10 offense. Like, those teams are unbelievably talented and skilled, competitive and physical. Like, I think that's the one thing we've learned, is it's going to take a lot for Pitt to compete with these top physical teams and the big teams that really kill you inside. I honestly, guys, I liked Cam Corin last night. He showed me a lot against those bigger Duke players. He was boxing out. He had 4 offensive rebounds. I think that's a huge takeaway. Although he just had 11 points and 7 boards, like, you don't really see that popping out on the stat sheet. But I think there's been improvement there. It's just, how can these guards overcome players that can switch onto them? And how can they step up and make big plays, make big shots? I also think they need some shooters to step up. Like, Ish Leggett and Jalen Lowe have not shot the 3 well this year. There's no one like Blake Hinson on this year's team who can stretch a defense out to 30 feet. There's no one like Joe Starkey who can hit step back, you know, 2-pointers in your face.
Look at you kissing up to the star of the show here.
This is unbelievable, George.
George, I thought that was slow motion. I thought they had slowed it down. It looked so long to unfold to get the leg out to kick. But, hey, he made the shot. I can't take it against
– At least it went in, George.
Went in.
George, we appreciate the time, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right.
What a nice man he is to throw that in there, huh, Bob?
How about that? Look at that. Turn around, kick out Dirk Nowitzki / Joe Starkey. Dirk Starkey.
This ACC right now, they don't play the whole rest of
nobody's
their schedule.
Ranked,
nobody's ranked.
No, that's it. But they have some teams that they, you know, they're going to have Louisville coming up, I think, this weekend.
Here, so you know what? I'm already worried now. About Pitt's resume, you know? I mean, it feels like even if they do well, people are going to rightfully point, yes, I made a mistake there. They lost to Wisconsin, 81-75. And then the games against Mississippi State and Duke were 90-57 and 76-47. So people are going to ask, no matter what happens from here on out, people are going to ask, yeah, well, who did Pitt beat, rightly or wrongly? That's very sad, Bob. But they need to start winning and winning a lot to get in. They have been winning, but they need to keep winning.
They're going to win. They're good enough, and I think their guards had an off-night shooting. The problem with a team like this, and I think that's a good point that George made about Cam Corin, he needs to be that person inside to clean up some stuff. Austin got a little banged up last night, but I think if they're going to be successful, they have to shoot better than what they shot. 31% ain't going to get it done. They're a team that lives and dies with those kind of shooting nights.
George from Pittsburgh now is on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the